The wondrous holiday of Pesach approaches, Zman Cheruteinu, the holiday that demonstrates our redemption, our freedom from Egypt, and it is a time when everyone, almost without exception, are involved in preparing Divrei Torah, words of Torah, both to say over the 7 days of the Chag itself, and particularly at a time of Seder Pesach, when everyone has something to say, a vort, something which they researched, something which they want to share with their family and friends around the experience of the Seder Pesach itself. It is one of the few times when Chazal and the Chachamim emphasize the fact that the more we talk, the more we are praised. The more we use our mouth in words of wisdom of Torah, the greater the experience, the greater the enhancement of our spirituality and of the mitzvah on that particular evening. It is no wonder to us that the most amount of perushim, the most amount of commentaries, were actually written on the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And therefore everyone is involved in preparing their own vorts, their own divrei Torah that they would like to say during the Seder and during the Chag of Pesach itself. I too have my own arsenal, so to speak, of Divrei Torah, and I would like to share a number of thoughts with you, which I believe encapsulate the entire theme of Pesach itself, and particularly the message of the Seder Pesach. The four sons, as we know, we go through the Haggadah Shel Pesach, there is the Chacham, the Rasha, the She'enu Yodeh Lish'ol, and the Tam. But when we look closely, as we often do, in analyzing the personalities or the statements and remarks of these particular sons, the Rasha, we say to him after he asks his question, Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. We have to understand, we tell the Rasha, that this was, or this happened to me personally, when we came out of Mitzrayim, because as we know, the Rasha excludes himself from the experience. He says, Ma avodah zot lachem. What is this experience that you have? And therefore, motzi oto et atzmo min haklal. He excludes himself from the general population. He is not part of the experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And we criticize him for this. It clearly is an indication of his rishut, his wickedness in behavior. But what's interesting is, when you look at the response that is given to the She'enu Yodeh Lish'ol, when you look at the psukim that we say to him at the end of Parshat Bo, we also say, Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. Look in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and the exact same response that we give to the Rasha is precisely the response that we offer to the She'enu Yodeh Lish'ol, to the child who does not know to ask any questions. And Rashi comments at the end of Parshat Bo on these psukim that this is indeed what is addressed to the She'enu Yodeh Lish'ol, to the child who does not know to ask. And the question is rather obvious. While we understand that the She'enu Yodeh Lish'ol is no tzaddik, he's not righteous, perhaps he's not the most learned child, perhaps he doesn't demonstrate a tremendous amount of curiosity, but nonetheless, to equate him, both in our response in the Haggadah and the response in the Torah, to a Rasha, to a wicked son, how can we possibly equate the child who does not know to ask, but may very well be that he demonstrates normal, actual behavior of a child, but yet we equate him to a Rasha, to the wicked son? How do we justify this equation? How does it make sense to us? Not only that, but even more troubling, when we look at the text of the Rasha, as I mentioned before, he says to us, Ma avodah zot lachem. Lachem velo lo. What is this work to you? excluding himself from the tzibur, from the congregation of Klal Yisrael. Yet interestingly enough, Rabotai, when you look at the question of the Chacham, the ideal elitist child, the child who is wise, the child who represents tzidkut, righteousness, a quest for understanding, he too asks in excluding himself. Mahaidot v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. What are the laws, the customs, the understandings, the testimonies that God has given etchem to you? Once again, it would appear quite clearly that the Chacham excludes himself from the congregation of Klal Yisrael. God has given these laws to you, but not necessarily to me. Why then do we not criticize the Chacham in the same fashion that we criticize the Rasha? I think the explanation is derived based on exploring the significance of two particular mitzvot that are outstanding on Seder night. The mitzvah of the matzah and the mitzvah of the Haggadah. V'igadetem lebincha bayom ahur lemor. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, of relating over the story of what happened to us indeed on the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Maharal, when he talks about the mitzvah of matzah, he asks a very obvious question. The matzah is referred to in the Torah as lechem oni. Lechem oni can be understood in two ways. Chazal say, lechem she'onin alav harbei dvarim. It is a bread, or a cracker, if you may, that promotes dialogue. It promotes conversation. It promotes understanding. But the simple explanation and understanding of lechem oni is derived from the Hebrew source or root of ani, ayin nun yud, poor people, destitute, someone without finances. The matzah represents lechem oni, the bread of affliction, the bread of the poor man. Says the Maharal, this I do not understand. On Seder night, when we're supposed to feel like Bnei Chorin, free men, rich men, wealthy men, men who have everything in the world to thank for, why do we then consume and eat and understand and explore the poor man's bread? Would it not have been more appropriate for us to immerse ourselves, to involve ourselves in conversation regarding rich man's bread? Healthy bread, bread that is leavened, bread that does rise, bread that is rich in texture and taste. Why the poor man's bread? Says the Maharal, the answer really leads to another question that we have to ask ourselves. Is the rich man truly a free man? The Gemara itself says, Marbe nechasim, marbe de'aga. A person who has a tremendous amount of wealth, a tremendous amount of assets, that person is bound to have much more worries than the person who is free or who does not necessarily have that material wealth. There's less to worry about. There's a simpler life than a person who is involved constantly in his finances. How many people do we know who are so wealthy, yet even after they leave their work, they come home and they continue to work, or they monitor the stock market, or they monitor the value of their assets. How is it rising? Is it glowing? Should I sell? Should I buy? And therefore we ask ourselves, is there any free time for these people? Is there anything as leaving the office or leaving work behind? The more a person accumulates does not necessarily guarantee that person's happiness and certainly not that person's freedom. There are many families that I know who are extremely wealthy. Yet when you look at their familial situation, there is a tremendous amount of adversity, even hatred, if you may, and you'll excuse me for saying so, within these families. They cannot sit together at the same table. They cannot deal with each other without quibbling, arguing, and without expressing their discontent for each other. Is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what Chazal had in mind when it comes to feeling free? When it comes to being wealthy? Certainly not. I remember there was an ad which was run by Eldon Rent-A-Car. And they were trying to promote people who were coming for Pesach that they should rent from Eldon. So they said, we'll throw in to the Rent-A-Car, we're going to throw in free usage of a cell phone. And I thought to myself, Ribono Shel Olam, a person who comes to spend the Chag HaChirut, the holiday of redemption, of feeling free, why on earth would anyone who wants to go on vacation want to take their cell phone with them, let alone receive a free one? Why would I want my office to be able to connect with me? Why would I want anyone or give anyone my number to be able to talk to me? I want to be free! I want to be able to reflect. I want to spend time with my family. I want to appreciate Eretz Yisrael as it is. Leave me alone. Yet our world is not based on the concept of Jewish freedom. Our world is based on instant gratification. Our world is based on more gadgets, gizmos, and toys that will, so to speak, satisfy us. But in actuality, they only demonstrate that we're missing that much more. Because there's always a new gadget around the corner. And therefore, says the Maharal, while we certainly do not advocate poverty, chas v'chalila, at the same time, we certainly must understand, as an old songwriter used to say, money can't buy me love. The matzah fulfills the religious and spiritual understanding of what it means to be free. The matzah reminds us that even within the confines of simplicity, even within the confines of, if you may, poverty, a person can be happy. A person can be free. Because a free man, from the Jewish perspective, is one who promotes his own religious growth and his own development. It is someone who appreciates how much more he can relate to his Creator, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol, as a result of his free of mind, as a result of his ability to explore and understand what his religiosity has to tell him. This concept is also demonstrated explicitly in the mitzvah of Maggid. It is interesting that the opening of the mitzvah, where we talk about the mitzvah of telling over and relating the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, opens in the Haggadah. Maise b'Rabbi Eliezer, b'Rabbi Tarfon, b'Rabbi Akiva, shahayu yoshvin v'oskin, b'sipo Yetziat Mitzrayim b'Bnei Brak. The Haggadah tells us a story of these Rabbonim who sat around the table in Bnei Brak, in the city of Bnei Brak, and were immersed in discussing the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And once again, the Maharal asks the obvious, why is it necessary for the Haggadah or the Baal Haggadah to write that they sat in Bnei Brak? I don't need to know the location of where they lived. That has nothing to do with enhancing our understanding of the mitzvah. Why is it necessary to tell us that the entire story and their relating of the story transpired in Bnei Brak itself? Says the Maharal, the emphasis of Bnei Brak is extremely important. Here were Rabbonim, who their entire days they spent studying in the Beit HaMidrash, in the house of study, in the confines of a Beit Knesset of the Shul. The Baal Haggadah writes that now they were not sitting in the Beit Midrash. Where were they sitting? In Bnei Brak, in their homes, in the places where they lived. Why? Because the Baal Haggadah tells us this was no longer part of their normal routine. Now these Rabbanim were learning and they were immersed in the special mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim at home. And even so, they were so involved, they were so committed to this mitzvah, that they no longer took notice. They did not need a Beit Midrash to stimulate their desire to fulfill the mitzvah. Yet even in Bnei Brak, even in their homes, they transformed their home into a Beit Midrash. Their home became the focus of the mitzvah. And the mitzvah is to feel free. The mitzvah of spiritual growth. The mitzvah of being able to discuss what the message of Pesach is to Klal Yisrael, to Am Yisrael, within the words of the Torah and the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once again, the Rabbonim who sat in Bnei Brak were confirming what it feels like to be a free man. No concept of time. No concept of place. Even in our homes, we are able to immerse ourselves in the Tzumo Shel Yom, in the mitzvah that pertains to this particular experience. And therefore, the learned man, the man who seeks knowledge, the person who wants to understand and further his spiritual development and understanding, one who is willing to explore the depths of Torah, that person is not bound by any outstanding or exterior motives. He has no concept of time. He has no concept of space. He has only one goal in mind and one purpose for existence. That's why the Baal Haggadah confirms, indeed, even these Rabbonim who were so involved in the mitzvah, not only the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, they were in Bnei Brak, the mitzvah of feeling Bnei Chorin, of being free from everything around them. The Baal Haggadah says, ולא הספיקו, לא אמור, עד שהגיעו תלמידיהם ואמרו רבותינו, הגיע הזמן של קריאת שמע של שחרית. They had no idea that it was time to daven in the morning. They lost any concept of time. They lost the concept of reality. They were not bound by all of those material issues that normally bind us to this materialistic world. They were totally in a spiritual state of mind to the extent that they paid no attention that the sun had rose and that it was time for them to daven. This is the difference between the Rasha and the Chacham. Rav Yonis and Eibeshitz points out that when you look at the question of the Chacham as opposed to the Rasha, there is one word that makes that fine distinction between the Chacham and the Rasha. The Chacham says, "Ma ha'idot v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem leimor." What are these laws, these testimonies, these customs that God has given you? Leimor. Leimor means, Rabotai, to say. Yes, the Chacham poses a question, but by including the word Lemor, he demonstrates to say, I am interested in an answer. Give me an answer. I want to understand. I want to appreciate my role within the history of Klal Yisrael. But the Rasha, the wicked son, on the other hand, does not include the word Lemor. He simply asks the question and leaves no room whatsoever for any response. This demonstrates that he is not interested in furthering his religiosity, and even more disturbing, he is not interested in confirming his freedom. Says Rav Shlomo Aviner, this is also the difference between the Rasha and the She'eni Yodei Lishol, who really are very much the same. In Judaism, we do not expect from people to arrive at all of the answers. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim itself says that we cannot expect ourselves to understand and completely comprehend all that goes on around us. But there is something that Judaism does demand. Judaism expects from us, at the very least, an intellectual curiosity. And while this Eino Yodea Lishol, this child who does not ask, while yes, he is not right now a rasha, he is not a wicked person, says Rav Aviner, let us understand that he is on his way to become a wicked person. Because he is not asking. Because he is not inquisitive. There is an obstruction to his interest in development. There is an obstruction to the She'enu Yodea Lishol's appreciation of what it means to be a free man. And while he is not the Rasha now, unfortunately he will become one. Unless, not that he should receive the answers, but unless he begins to ask the questions. This is what is expected from us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Torah, and the message of Pesach. Our obligation on Pesach is to infuse ourselves, and even more importantly, to infuse our children with the enthusiasm, with the desire to generate an intellectual curiosity. The entire Seder Pesach revolves around questions, not necessarily answers. Because we want intellectually curious Jews. We want Jews who are expressing l'emor. Give me an answer, because I'm interested in asking. And in our generation, we have to understand the message to our families, to all of Klal Yisrael, to our fellow Jews, and certainly to our children, that the immediate needs that may be filled by our materialistic approach of TV, the internet, those are really methods not of happiness, not of freedom, but of actual enslavement. To be free from the Jewish perspective means to be free of mind, means to be free of spirit. And in Mir Hashem, if we appreciate our place in Jewish history and in teaching and furthering the concept of B'nai Chorin, of what it means to be free, then we can truly proclaim with pride and confidence on Seder night, Hacha Hashta Avdi Leshana Haba B'nai Chorin. Now we very well might be slaves, but next year, as a result of our experience, as a result of our desire and commitment to ask, to quest, and to further our understanding and appreciation of what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael, then we'll be able to say, L'shona haba b'nei chorin, next year we will be free. And Amir Hashem, with all of Klal Yisrael, will be able to proclaim the Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim Habnuya. Chag Kasher B'Sameach. The sleepless sermon will continue once again the week after Pesach. I wish all of you Chag Kasher B'Sameach Lanu U'Lechol Yisrael.